The Road. Muldoon took the curve very fast, the jeep sliding on the mud. Sitting beside him, Gennaro clenched his fists. They were racing along the cliff road, high above the river, now hidden below them in darkness. Muldoon accelerated forward, his face was tense.
How much farther? Gennaro said.
2, maybe 3 miles.
Ellie and Harding were back at the visitor center. Gennaro had offered to accompany Muldoon. The car swerved.
It's been an hour, Muldoon said, an hour, with no word from the other cars.
But they have radios, Gennaro said.
We haven't been able to raise them, Muldoon said.
Gennaro frowned.
If I was sitting in a car for an hour in the rain, I'd sure try to use the radio to call for somebody.
So would I, Muldoon said.
Gennaro shook his head.
You really think something could have happened to them?
Chances are, Muldoon said, that they're perfectly fine, but I'll be happier when I finally see them. Should be any minute now.
The road curved, then ran up a hill. At the base of the hill, Gennaro saw something white lying among the ferns by the side of the road.
Hold it, Gennaro said, and Muldoon braked.
Gennaro jumped out and ran forward in the headlights of the jeep to see what it was. It looked like a piece of clothing, but there was... Gennaro stopped. Even from 6 feet away, he could see clearly what it was. He walked forward more slowly.
Muldoon leaned out of the car and said, What is it?
It's a leg, Gennaro said.
The flesh of the leg was pale blue-white, terminating in a jagged, bloody stump where the knee had been. Below the calf, he saw a white sock and a brown slip-on shoe. It was a kind of shoe Ed Regis had been wearing. By then, Muldoon was out of the car, running past him to crouch over the leg.
Jesus!
He lifted the leg out of the foliage, raising it into the light of the headlamps, and blood from the stump gushed down over his hand. Gennaro was still 3 feet away. He quickly bent over, put his hands on his knees, squeezed his eyes shut, and breathed deeply, trying not to be sick.
Gennaro!
Muldoon's voice was sharp.
What? Move! You're blocking the light!
Gennaro took a breath and moved. When he opened his eyes, he saw Muldoon peering critically at the stump.
Torn at the joint line, Muldoon said. Didn't bite it. Twisted and ripped it. Just ripped his leg off.
Muldoon stood up, holding the severed leg upside down, so the remaining blood dripped onto the ferns. His bloody hand smudged the white sock as he gripped the ankle. Gennaro felt sick again.
No question what happened, Muldoon was saying. The T-Rex got him.
Muldoon looked up the hill, then back to Gennaro.
You all right? Can you go on?
Yes,
Gennaro said.
I can go on.
Muldoon was walking back toward the jeep, carrying the leg.
I guess we better bring this along, he said. Doesn't seem right to leave it here. Christ, it's going to make a mess of the car. See if there's anything in the back, will you? A tarp or newspaper?
Gennaro opened the back door and rummaged around in the space behind the rear seat. He felt grateful to think about something else for a moment. The problem of how to wrap the severed leg expanded to fill his mind, crowding out all other thoughts. He found a canvas bag with a tool kit, a wheel rim, a cardboard box, and 2 tarps, he said. They were neatly folded plastic.
Give me one, Muldoon said, still standing outside the car.
Muldoon wrapped the leg and passed the now shapeless bundle to Gennaro. Holding it in his hand, Gennaro was surprised at how heavy it felt.
Just put it in the back, Muldoon said. If there's a way to wedge it, you know, so it doesn't roll around.
Okay, Gennaro put the bundle in the back, and Muldoon got behind the wheel. He accelerated, the wheels spinning in the mud, then digging in. The jeep rushed up the hill, and for a moment at the top, the headlights still pointed upward into the foliage, and then they swung down, and Gennaro could see the road before them.
Jesus, Muldoon said.
Gennaro saw a single Land Cruiser lying on its side in the center of the road. He couldn't see the second Land Cruiser at all.
Where's the other car?
Muldoon looked around briefly, pointed to the left.
There!
The second Land Cruiser was 20 feet away, crumpled at the foot of a tree.
What's it doing there?
The T-Rex threw it.
Threw it?
Gennaro said. Muldoon's face was grim.
Let's get this over with, he said, climbing out of the jeep.
They hurried forward to the second Land Cruiser. Their flashlights swung back and forth in the night. As they came closer, Gennaro saw how battered the car was. He was careful to let Muldoon look inside first.
I wouldn't worry, Muldoon said. It's very unlikely we'll find anyone.
No?
No, he said.
He explained that during his years in Africa, he had visited the scenes of a half-dozen animal attacks on humans in the bush. One leopard attack. The leopard had torn open a tent in the night and taken a 3-year-old child. Then one buffalo attack in Amboseli. 2 lion attacks. 1 croc attack in the north near Maru. In every case, there was surprisingly little evidence left behind. Inexperienced people imagined horrific proofs of an animal attack, torn limbs left behind in the tent, trails of dripping blood leading away into the bush, blood-stained clothing not far from the campsite. But the truth was, there was usually nothing at all, particularly if the victim was small, an infant or a young child. The person just seemed to disappear, as if he had walked out into the bush and never come back. A predator could kill a child just by shaking it, snapping the neck. Usually there wasn't any blood. And most of the time you never found any other remains of the victims. Sometimes a button from a shirt or a sliver of rubber from a shoe, but most of the time, nothing. Predators took children, they preferred children, and they left nothing behind. So Muldoon thought it highly unlikely that they would ever find any remains of the children. But as he looked in now, he had a surprise. I'll be damned, he said.